This is my whole world. My nurse, my mom, my sickness. I'm 18 and I've never been outside. If I did, I would probably die.
Hi, my mom sent a bunt.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Is your daughter around?
No, she isn't. When I talk to him, I feel like I'm outside. He's here.
Who's here?
You're really different than I thought you were gonna be.
Sexier, right? What would happen if you went outside?
Probably spontaneous combustion. Here I have HEPA filters, outsized viruses, and bacteria.
Where would you go if you could?
The ocean. I've never seen it.
Running. That's the only time I would have took advice from Beyonce or whatever, is running. Wish I could have ran away from this movie, talking about everything. The latest young adult novel turned into movie, which I believe the novel was made in 2014, 15-ish or something like that. Directed by a female director too, Stella Meghe, and written by, I think this is our first time directing a something to the big screen here, and you got J. Miles Goodloe, who is also his first time writing something as well. And to give a plot synopsis of this, Cody, you lucky bastard, you missed out on such a great movie here. I'm not gonna lie here, but you got a teenage girl played by Amanda Steinberg. No, there's not I in that. So Stenberg, yeah. Man, that sounds Jewish as shit, first of all. This is the chick that played Rue. You guys remember the first Hunger Games movie, where I guess Katniss first did the hand signal sign or whatever and all that stuff. She plays, she's 18 now. Goddamn, how old am I? Hold on. Wait a minute, hold on. Fuck, she looked like she was 9 in that movie. How's she 8? Whatever. Anyway, though. She grew up to be a nice young adult, I must say that. Beautiful young adult, if I will. She plays Maddie Whittier in here, and she's got a disease known as, Sick? I forgot what the fuck it was now. Who gives a shit, to be honest? Basically, it's a disease where she basically can't step outside because, any contact she may have with some contaminated stuff, her cells will easily just break down and not even try to fight it because, well, her body immune system is just weak as shit. Next thing you know it, her mother is played by Anika Noni Rose. I'm gonna get in her later. She plays Pauline Whittier in here. I gotta say, I wasn't checking this woman out in the trailer here, but that woman got a nice little body on her. There was a scene in here where she was in her robe and stuff. I was like, bring on some of that mother dearest chocolate over here real quick. Anyway though, sure, I was heavily on. I was like, looking like some chocolate milk going wrong right there. But anyway though, and her mother's pretty much kept her safe. She has her nurse, if you will, played by Carla, which is another fine ass one. Plays Ana de la Oreguera. Yeah, she's been in like Narcos, Cowboys Now. You've seen her around. She's been around the block here. And next you know, we got this boy, Nick Robinson, Ollie. Plays Ollie Brighton here. We just saw him in Jurassic World. He had an episode of Boardwalk Empire. He's been around the block. Ollie Bright, he moves in next door, and she kind of notices it looking out the window, and she's just staring at him. He looking at her, and it just dawned on me. I was like, damn, you've been stuck in this house for 18 years. You mean to tell me this is the first time you've seen a dude around the same age as you? Wow. What a fucking coincidence that might be. And she's already like, let me wave at him. He waves at her. Then next thing you know, she starts to find herself constantly looking out the window, staring at him. And he's looking back at her. He finds her to be beautiful. She finds him to be kind of hot. There's two good-looking people just got to end up fucking one moment there. So basically, I guess that's really a plot synopsis. There's not much to this fucking movie, actually. Now that I think about it, it's like, I guess that is. Until, you know, she ends up falling in love with him, and she ends up running away with him to Hawaii, ends up getting sick, passing out, and then only realize the dun-dun-dun, the twist of the movie here. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this movie. I want to get on the music here. The music sucked ass. They are really trying to sell this soundtrack. And my God, that Beyonce song must have came on at least 2 times in this film. I didn't even know what it was at first. And then I could just tell from the voice. I was like, is that Beyonce? Yeah, that's Beyonce. I noticed they kept playing that particular part of the song. It was running, 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 running. And I was just like, oh, I bet they play that when she is running. Oh, sure enough, they do. She's running. There's even a line here where she's just like, I think she said, I love you more than everything. And then she said everything. Like, once again, like, you know, the forever, ever, forever, ever. She said everything twice. And I was just like, oh, my God, the fucking dialogue written in here was, like, written for a damn 12-year-old or something like that. I actually took notes in this film, too. They did not take my phone away for this. I said, nah, I got to definitely take notes on this one. But the music in here back on that one was terrible. The Beyonce song was pretty bad here, especially when you have to, when you play it multiple times, it's even worse because you can remember the lyrics and it's just stuck in your head now. Lonely walls have changed the way I feel. The way I feel. I'm standing still. Nothing else matters anymore. So where are you? I've been calling you. I'm missing you. Down where else can I go? Where else can I go? Chasing you. Chasing you. Yes, I remember this all in this fucking song. I don't remember this part though. Please don't bury us. I got you. Ah, here it go, people. Here it go. I got you. Cause she's running, 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 running. Shut the fuck up, please. Okay. Yes, I wish I could have ran away from this goddamn theater. Just smile. Just running, running, running. Anyway, though, let me just throw out some positives first before I start talking shit about it. Basically, this movie sucks ass through a straw. Sucks terrible ass through a straw, actually. It's almost like you took a 500-pounder, stuck a straw right through his ass cheeks, and that straw wasn't enough to suck out whatever pieces of shit chunks you could and whatever stuff, so you had to stick like 2 straws, then 3 straws, then 4 straws, then next thing you know it, you shine that sumbitch up sideways and you sucked the shit out of it. That's what this movie was. But let me go ahead and give some pauses out here in the movie. There's a lot of things in here, like texting, and I'm starting to really hate that trend in movies now where they pop up on the screen, but I want to give this movie some creative liberties that this did something actually really creative. Obviously, we all know that she can't go outside or nothing like that. So her way of communicating with Ollie is through text. Well, what they did is she takes an architectural class online, and she builds like little house models and restaurant models and stuff like that. So she imagines, they show like a scene where they're texting, but instead of them actually showing the text on the screen, what they do is they put them in the same room of this architectural building she might have designed and made it appear as if they're talking face to face. I thought that was really creative and unique. I'm not gonna lie, I was actually blown away by that. But then they kept fucking doing it and I was just like, okay, it's getting annoying. Especially towards the end, it really got annoying when she was like, I'm bad for you, Ollie. And she started running away. I was like, oh, God. I was like, oh, please stop. Her acting, I thought was okay, but she looked really stiff. And I'm talking about Amanda Stenberg here. She looked really stiff in some parts. Like, her shoulders was up. Like, she's just like, I don't know if she was just nervous or wanting to smile all the time or something like that. But I thought she was just okay. And Nick Robinson, he was okay, too. I mean, if you hated him in Jurassic World, you might gonna hate him here. I did hate him in Jurassic World. And kind of, I ain't gonna lie, he's kind of a fucking douche in here, too, as whatever. He's not acting like a douche, but he has that douche boy, frat boy look and shit. Like, even when he passed by through the window, he flips that hair back, and it's almost like, it's like a Mystery Science Theater track where you just pause and go, sup? He just looks like such a fucking douche. He's just like, fuck this dude. I thought the mother was good. At some part, she's okay, I guess. But with her character, they do this 180 thing where one moment she seems okay, and the very next fucking scene is just like she's flipping to 300 degrees north or something like that. And you're just like, fuck, did that come from? What other positives? The water looked nice. Yeah, that's a positive. I mean, look at that water, right? That looked good, didn't it? Okay, no, there was no other good. The dialogue in here is fucking awful. It made me cringed a lot in this fucking film. I was like, oh. There was times where I just said, you gotta be fucking kidding me or whatever. I mean, there's... What was the line? So they did this sequence here where it's 4th of July and she was just like, my mother's gonna be working late and my nurse's day off or stuff. You should come on over. And they have this sequence here, and I'm gonna go ahead and play a clip from here because they kept making references to the Little Prince in here. And not even references, neither, but they just kept blatantly saying, you remember the Little Prince? And I'm just like, shut the fuck up with the Little Prince, please. Everybody knows I love that movie, okay? So they brought that movie up 4 times in this movie here, and I was just like, if you mention that movie one more goddamn time, I'm gonna strangle your ass here. And I didn't even notice it, but she said it again in this fucking clip too, whatever. And I was just like, oh. Right, let me go.
What are you doing?
He's like, so what are you doing? Sup? You want a pound of beer, bro?
Yes.
People are like, shut the fuck up, people. I want to hear this clip. They got all dressed up and shit. He's got like a black button-up shirt on. She's got this white dress on and shit. So they wanted to whore this girl up so bad. I mean, every second you live, she's in dresses and shit like that and skirts. They were gonna show them legs off. She was like, my legs are nice, long, and brown. You're gonna be looking at my legs. You're gonna be looking at my titties next or whatever. Okay, I'm flashing these titties. You want 2 titties? I got 2 titties for you. She's like fucking Patti LaBelle or something like that. This bitch is too big for them titties or whatever and stuff like, you know. So. Okay, and she can't stop smiling throughout this fucking film, too. It's like, bitch, what are you so happy about? You about to die.
I don't want to.
You sure?
Yes.
So you can't even hear it because they mumble so much in this film. But they're about to kiss in this sequence here. Fuck this clip. They're mumbling their ass off here. And they're about to kiss, and all you can hear is she whispers, yes, little prince. And I was like, ah! I was like, stop. I hung myself right there. So they end up kissing, right? And he goes home. They're texting each other. And her fucking line that she says, and it even pops up on the screen. It's some terrible fucking dialogue. She said, my lips will forget his kiss, but my brain shall remember forever. I was like, I snuck a flask in this theater with me, people. So I finished this bottle or this flask. I finished this flask in a matter of 25 minutes. I was like, oh, shit. So by this point, the whiskey was kicking in on my ass, and I was just sitting there going like, I can't take this shit no more. Oh, there was a lie she told her mother, too. She was like, I'd rather talk to him than sleep, because when I talk to him, I feel like I'm outside, Ma. I was like, please stop it. Somebody shushed me, too, and I was like, yeah, you shushed yourself. Because I was lying. I was like, oh. Oh, stop. Someone, shh, don't you fucking shush me. You ain't enjoying this, okay? I know we all got to review this movie later, but damn, come on. Nobody's sitting. Actually, what am I talking about? No, nobody's going to review this fucking movie. I'm probably the only one that's going to see it here. The story in here is dog shit. Someone told me after the movie here, because most of this movie spend most of the time of her falling for this boy. The mother and the rest of these characters are just side pieces. They're kind of like plot devices here just to keep the two apart, if you will. And mainly her thing is in the book, from what I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but this person told me after the movie was over that the movie focuses more on the mother and the daughter's relationship. Because I'm gonna go ahead and get into the twist here. The twist is she's not really sick. the mother just lied to her to keep her inside and keep her safe. Because there's an incident here, which I thought would have been a really powerful scene. I'm not going to lie. I would have probably gave this a low streaming just for having the balls to go with something. But it don't have the balls. It don't have any balls at all there. But the fact that, because she brought up her husband, who's clearly a white dude in that photo she saw, her photo of her father and her brother who passed away. You don't learn much about them in there, but you end up that they died in a car accident. So her mother has spent most of her 18 years of her life lying to her, telling her you've had this disease where you can't go outside. And the reason why she did it was she was using it to protect her. She didn't want to go outside. She's pretty much she needs therapy. She's a broken woman. She's like, I can't just fathom the idea of losing another one of you guys, and I needed you to stay close by my side. And the only way I figured I could protect you is by keeping you in. And they just briefly, abruptly just leave alone after that. After that, the daughter, Maddie here, she runs away, and they never bring it back up. It never comes back. It comes back at all in the movie. And that's at the end of the film. It's like the last maybe 20 minutes of the film here. And I was just like, that's the movie right there. I mean, had we would have had this build a movie on the relationship of the mother and the daughter, and then halfway in the middle, we find out that she's not really sick, and then it's mainly about the mother and daughter trying to repatch their relationship or whatever. That would have been cool as fuck. I'd have been like, hey, I'm all on board for this movie. The fact, now, there is this love story in here. Don't get me wrong from what he's telling me in the book. The love story is there, but it plays such a background to this real story of the mother and daughter here. And it's actually a fucking insult to the audience that this movie goes see, because this movie, the writer, the director, the studio, whatever, they're pretty much saying the audience is too fucking stupid and lazy to care about a platform like that. So we're going to crowbar this shitty ass romance story in here that people are just going to go, oh, isn't that sweet? they're in love together and everything is so peachy. And meanwhile, my black ass is running. So I really thought the movie, actually that made me really wanted to say fuck this movie. I was just like, wow, you actually had a premise there and you went the opposite direction. There's even a part where, you know, her mother comes to where she was staying and said, you know, she was explaining herself why she did it, and then, you know, it seems like they somewhat patched it up, but they really didn't. And even the mother is kind of goes back at home, opens the blinds up. Now she's letting things be shown or whatever and stuff. But Maddie gets on a plane and flies to New York. And I was thinking, you know, this would have been a much better ending. Because the reason why she goes to New York is because where Ollie went to. He went back to New York with his mother and his sister and stuff. They moved back. They ran away from her deadbeat husband. Because Maddie gave her the strength to finally do it. Get the fuck out of here, please, with that shit. She gets on a plane to go to New York to go see Ollie. You know, she sends him a last-minute text. He's like, I know I was wrong. We need to do this, whatever. I thought the movie would have had bigger balls had he just been gone out the picture, and she would have got on that plane with her mother. They would have went somewhere. They would have started spending time together and stuff, because her mother is rich as shit up in here. I'm talking about, I wouldn't leave the house ever, to be honest. Just ever. Her mother is a doctor in some sorts or something like that. This house is fucking incredible. And it's in L.A. I just let that sink in. Cody right now is about to go hang himself as he listens to that part. He's like, well, slitting that wrist right about now. Not horizontal, but vertical. Because it's another shitty-ass movie in L.A. It's, I think, in the San Fernando Valley. Actually, no, it's not even that. Actually, it's not. I think it's by Santa Monica. And this house is just incredible. Ollie, he gives somewhat of a little bit of a backstory. His father is abusive, apparently. There was one scene where he hit Ollie, but I was like, Ollie got that on himself. Ollie was pushing him and shit. And then he even took a swing at him and missed, so his dad just knocked him on his ass, whatever. And this is the first sequence, too, where Maddie, she sees it from the window. She runs out. She just blatantly, completely ignores everything and just runs outside. Even her mother was like, where the fuck are you going or whatever? And she's like, are you okay? I had to make sure he was okay. And I was just like, are you fucking serious? This was before, okay, they did kiss before. Okay, this was after the kiss sequence here and stuff like that. And the mother, in this sequence, too, she was even cool. She was, like, freaking out saying, you know, I can't believe you brought him in here and went behind my back and did this. But she had a little sit-down talk with her whenever she was just like, you care about him, you love him and stuff like this. And she was like, I love him. She's like, I can see it in your eyes. They having a mother-daughter conversation. I was just like, oh, her mother's not, like, freaking out really about this. You know, she's just like, but then she was like, you know, he can't come back in here, though. You guys can continue to talk, but you shouldn't be bringing anyone in here. And then the very fucking next scene, the next morning, whatever, she's yelling at Carla, the nurse and stuff. She's like, how dare you bring him in here? You jeopardized my daughter, blah, 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 this, whatever. Look at my daughter now. Look at her, whatever. She was, like, going off. I was like, where the fuck did this come from? You was not this mad just a minute ago. And then she's like, you're fired. Get the hell out of my house and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, this is where the mother takes the deep grave. They spend a lot of time in this movie, too. With the it's boring as shit. That's one of the problems. It's just boring as fuck. It's mainly a lot of the work corpse up in here is just him and her talking, and they're talking about shit that you just don't give a fuck about. I'm just looking at, and the only reason why she likes him, let's be real, because that's the first dude she's seen in quite some time. The only reason why he likes her, so that's probably the only chick he's ever ran into stuff. It's funny because it gives us backstory on him, like his dad's a drunk, he can't keep a job, and yet they move into the most expensive neighborhood I've ever seen. I was like, so how the fuck did he afford this house here if he can't keep a job? So basically they try to give a backstory to him by saying, like, oh, he's not perfect neither. He has a back fucked up story. You know, he even told the stories like, I tell my mother, you know, every time I tell her, why don't you just leave him? She just looks at me and goes, you'll understand when you're in love or whatever and shit. And the night that they leave, he sends her a long ass text message. And it reads at the end, my mother said, he's like, I told my mother about you, Maddie. And he said that the fact that you were willing to come outside for me, that gave her the strength to finally leave my dad. I was like, get the fuck out of here. So it took a girl who had a disease of, who if she came outside, she could die or possibly, for a woman who was getting abused by her husband to leave him. You gotta be fucking kidding me. I was kind of done with the movie at that point. I was like, what the fuck ever, dude? You gotta be shitting me. I know that's not true right here. There's no way this grown-ass woman who's getting beat all of a sudden decided, you know what? That 18-year-old is quite brave, whatever. Look, I'm gonna tell you this right now. 18, 30, whatever. If you were stuck in a fucking house for that goddamn long, at one point you're just gonna say, fuck it, I need to go. Basically, Maddie just said, I need some dick, okay? I need some dick, them hormones kicking in. And they don't skip no beats telling you. They open up this movie saying, hi, my name is Maddie. I'm 18 years old, and I suffer from. I was like, they couldn't wait to get that shit out the bar. They was like, we gotta say she's 18 because there's some sequences in here that's gonna be a little X rated. Ooh. So you know, she decides, I'm gonna run away from home. Fuck it, I'm running away from home. She decides to get a credit card, which, by the way, she made it seem like it's easy as fuck to do. They don't even check credit. Like, how could this 18-year-old girl with no credit actually just get a credit card? Like, I don't know if movies know how credit cards work, but there's limits on them. It ain't like she got like some there's no way in fuck she got a $10,000 credit card limit, okay? At the most, with your credit being so low or anything like that, the most they would give you is like $300. And every about like 5 months or so, they'll increase it by another $300, maybe $200. You'll get $500 the next 5 months after that, it'll go up. The next 3 months, it'll go up. Your credit limit increases. This bitch bought 2 plane tickets to Hawaii, a hotel, it was round trip too, and then, like you know, resort fees and stuff like that. She paid for that on that one credit card, bar clothes, food, and stuff like that, and I was just like, I don't think that's, no, that's, her credit is fucked now, if you <that's> okay. So, she ends up going here, and they put her in this tight-ass yellow dress, too. She even says, it's too small. And he's like, yeah, it's too small. She's like, fuck it, I'm going to get it anyway, though, because dude's going to look at my titties. That bitch looked like Big Bird in that color, that swimsuit right there, okay? There was titties everywhere and a big-ass yellow costume, whatever. I thought it was Big Bird on screen. A fine-ass Big Bird, don't get me wrong. She's 18. I go ahead and hit that. But either way, though, they have these sequences on the beach. They're swimming and whatever. They're kissing. She's like, the only thing that feels good about this water is being here with you in the ocean. I was like, oh God, please stop. They actually have sex in this movie, too. I was blown away. I was like, did he wear a rubber? I was like, I don't think he wore rubber at all. This movie's not promoting safe sex at all. I was like, he didn't put no rubber on. I was like, he straight up put his dick in that sick-ass diseased girl. I was like, wow. Someone need to tell kids that, hey, I don't give a damn how much you in love with her. She got some kind of sickness or something like that. You better put a rubber on and wear a gas mask. Don't kiss her on the lips or something like that, okay? They end up having sex, playing that shitty ass. They played the Beyonce song, dude. It's like, hey, way I feel, these old folks don't know. I was like, oh, pull them sheets back. He didn't even eat her pussy out. I'm like, shh. You don't love her then. I mean, if you don't eat her pussy out, then how the fuck is that? That's not love. Shoot. Now, granted, people probably saying, you must love a lot of fucking people then. Because you goddamn right, I eat the pussy out. But either way, though, let me go over some of the lines in this movie here. I wrote them down in sequence here. So, she have a line in this movie, people, where she goes outside and she says, you could have died, Maddie. What's wrong with you? And she told her mom, looked her right in the eyes, and yelled at her and said, love can't kill me, Mom. I said, what did she just say? That was a line where my eyes got big, and I looked to the seat next to me hoping that Cody would, like, ghost would show up or something like that. And I there was an empty seat next to me. I just looked at that seat and said, did you fucking hear that? And in my mind, I was hoping Cody would speak, the ghost of Cody would speak back to me and say, I'm out of here, P1. Because when she said, love can't kill me, diseases can't destroy something as powerful as this love. My eyes rolled so far in the back of my fucking head. I was just like, Death, where is he at? Because she's just testing your patience right in by now. You need to touch that bitch so she can just pass the fuck out right by now. I'll see about your goddamn love. I wish he would have cheated on her in this movie just to break her little ass, to be honest. I know that's fucked up. People are like, you evil as shit, but who gives a damn? Especially when you spewing lines out like that. So her mother teaches her, you know, don't get too caught up with this boy. You know, this is the sequence where she tells love can't kill me. She's like, don't get too caught up with this boy. You know, he's going to realize you're stuck in a house and he's out there making new friends and stuff. Like, he's going to meet some girl that, you know, can give him what you can't give him. And she says, why would anyone set themselves up to have a broken heart like that? I was like, please stop, please. Oh, man. Then she meets with him. This is where they kept doing the texting thing, but they were doing it like the visually they showed you them talking face-to-face in this world she created, which I thought was creative. This is where I thought it'd get a little too much, because his line to her was, I don't want to lose you, Maddie. Then her, she was like, well, you already lost me. I can't go outside, so what are you losing? And I was like, oh, just put a bullet in my fucking head already, please. Just stop it. The scene when they're in Hawaii and they're talking about, like, they're talking about his mother, like, why she won't leave her father, even though he beats her and stuff. And he finally just says, I love you. And she says, I kid you not, this is her line before that. She's like, I love you before I knew you. And I had to stand up and I had to stretch. I was like, okay. you tested my patience, movie. It's like, what? What does that even mean? I love you before I knew you. What? What fantasy world am I living in with these fucking millennials? I think I'm a millennial. Is 28 in the millennial age group? I don't know. Cody, your fucking age group, your millennial motherfuckers, okay? So, oh, God. I love you before I even knew you. Oh, God. This shit makes Titanic look like a goddamn horror film. Well, actually, technically, it is a horror film. If you was on that boat, then it is a horror film, to be honest. You know, even Titanic, though, because I've watched that movie multiple times. I've seen that movie in theaters. This was probably like 2012 with my sister, when they had released it in 3D and stuff. My sister loves the films like that with Taker and stuff. I've seen that film a lot of times with her or whatever. I know for a fact that movie didn't even have lines like that or whatever. So I'm like sitting there going like, you know, if Titanic is the greatest romance tragedy ever, why don't more movies take pieces of that then? These romantic films take pieces of that instead of just going for the simpiest bitch-made bullshit you've ever heard or whatever. Because Titanic never stooped to these levels of saying shit like, I love you before I even knew you, or I was looking for you my whole life, or whatever. They never said anything like that in that whole film. It's just annoying as shit when you hear something like that. And there was a scene, too, where they, after they, you know, because she has a freak out. After they have sex, the next morning, she passes out. I love it because she's in a hospital somewhere in Maui, Hawaii, and she wakes up the next sequence. She's back in L.A. in her bed, whatever, and it's going like, what the fuck? And she ends up telling him, like, oh, I don't want to put you through this, Ollie. We shouldn't see each other. And he leaves a little fucking note on her window saying, you look at... no, he didn't put this on a note. He said it to her. He says, you look at the oceans as if it's meant for you. No, he did write this. You look at the oceans as if it's meant for you. And I love that about you. And I was like, oh, what the fuck does that even mean? You look at the ocean as if it's meant for you? Negro, that's because she ain't seen a goddamn single piece of thing in 18 years. Shit, your eyes wake up to something. Then you know what? Every time I see Cody take a sip of some new alcohol, I introduce him to whatever, I'm be like, man, you look at that bottle as if it's meant for you. And he's gonna be like, you faggot. Oh man, so I'm going through some stuff here, and I'm telling you, this movie is just, it's, you get to the ending here, you know, when she finds out she's not really sick and stuff, through the doctor in Hawaii tells her, no, you don't have that disease, whatever. It's just like, your body's just not used to, you've probably been in, you're just not used to some of these viruses that's been around, because you've probably been in captivity. And I don't mean that like she's been in a dungeon or anything like that, but in captivity for so long that you're not used to the viruses out there in the world. Your body never got used to it and stuff. You know, she ends up going to New York and meeting this dude, and they end up running off in love with each other and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, to quote one more line, I guess, whatever, she says, I'm trying not to love you, but I'm failing. I was like, oh, God, I can't take this no more. I was like, yeah, this movie's a fuck it, dude. It's more in the sense of a fuck it that it's just boring and with terrible dialogue. There's some cool premises in here that I could see better than this love story that they angled around here. The whole thing with the mother, I think you could have made a cool... If Disney would have made this movie, most likely they would have did that mother-daughter relationship, because that seems to be the theme of most of their movies nowadays, you know, with Frozen, Maleficent, you know, they try to get that family aspect in here, and I feel like they would have pushed that just a little bit or something, because that sounds more intriguing too, because that was a huge bomb when she found out she wasn't sick or whatever. I'm just like, this woman cost her 18 years of your life or whatever and shit. But then again, you're a fucking child. You don't really have much of a fucking life anyway. Your life is under that roof. And I, even though the mother did something fucked up, they almost seemed like she was sick in the head. Like, she really believed that, oh, she really did have that disease. Or there was so many cool angles in that one fucking scene that they didn't go nowhere with, that I was like, wow, you could have made a whole damn movie off this. Instead, you tried to crowbar this bullshit-ass romance story here. And that merit alone, I had to give this a fucking... I mean, not on the merit alone of saying I got to give it a fucking... When you spewing out lines saying, love can't kill me, mom. Yeah, but I bet a bullet can kill your ass. About that shit. I think for the demographic of this film, it's probably going to hit them. I'm talking about, you know, the 16, 17-year-old girls out there. They're probably going to enjoy this. Hell, I don't know. Maybe they may not like it, though, because maybe they enjoyed the book. I don't know really how popular that book is here. But for me as myself, I found it to be boring. Dialogue sucked ass. And then that love angle just, ugh, it was just really fucking the cringe, if you will, here. Didn't really do anything new. The stuff that I did like, they just kept repeating itself. Got repetitive in some parts as well, too, so... Overall, this just wasn't a movie made for me. I'm not gonna lie. And even with me recognizing that for the audience it's made for, I don't really see anything in here that they could not see in another film that came out beforehand that's probably out on Blu-ray by now. You know, this movie just lacked the balls to do anything. So, enough said there. Oh, and another thing I want to point out too. There's just some articles I saw yesterday, like right after I saw the movie and shit. Get out of here with this bullshit of like, oh, this movie, it's pushing diversity in Hollywood. Get the fuck out of here. I hate to tell you this, still a white dude in the fucking lead, all right? And you may have a black girl in there who I believe is I think her father is African, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. That's a fine-ass African daughter, I gotta say, yeah. But no, her father is, her mother's African-American, and her father's Danish. Okay, so, she's a half-breed then, okay? So, this ain't pushing no diversity, so just stop with that, please. You still got a white dude in the lead with a mixed black girl, okay? So that's not doing anything new. We've seen these damn movies or whatever. So, this movie, you might see some articles out there when you type in this movie about how it's pushing that diversity without even really, you know, pointing it out like most things do and stuff. And it's just like, you know why it's not pointing it out? Because ain't nothing fucking diverse in here at all, whatever. It's the same shit you've already seen, so get the hell out of here. You could have easily put a black dude in this role, Spanish dude in this role, Muslim guy, whatever, Middle Eastern dude, whatever. It would have been the same damn thing. Clearly, though, they had brains and said, I'm going to stay far the fuck away from this property here. So, yeah, everything. Fuck it. Yeah, that's about it on here, you know. Beyonce, take us away, please. Okay, never mind. You can go fuck yourself too, Beyonce.
Are you sure you feel fine?
Actually, I feel perfect. I feel I'm standing still. Is it always like that?
It's never like that.
It's not up to you to decide what she needs.
You have to go.
She was my friend.
She was supposed to keep you safe.
You can't see him again. Staying in this house keeps me alive, but this isn't living. I want to experience everything. Everything.
Maddie, what are you doing? Go back inside.
No, Holly, I have to know if I'm really sick.
And the only way that I'll know is if I'm outside.
Maddie, what's wrong?
I'm messing up your life.
My life is better with you in it.
I'm willing to sacrifice everything just to live one perfect day.